When safer-at-home orders and the economic shutdown hit at the beginning of spring, well, a lot of us looked forward to summer, hoping the coronavirus pandemic would be under control by then. And indeed, in the past few weeks, businesses and organizations have started to reopen. Churches have begun to move from online to in-person worship services. But will the recovery last? Yesterday, we had a record number of cases nationally. Yesterday, also, the State Department of Health Services reported cases in Wisconsin are trending upward again. And here in western Wisconsin, we bested 100 new cases of COVID-19 for the second week in a row. It's summer life in western Wisconsin in the midst of a pandemic. That's our topic here on the West Side. Good morning. I'm Dean Kallenbach. And joining us in a few minutes will be Michelle Martin of the Washburn County Tourism Association and Benny Anderson of Visit Eau Claire. They were with us 3 months ago talking about the pandemic's effects on spring tourism. We'll get their thoughts on what the summer looks like. But we open the show today with two public health officers. Lisa Giese is the director of Eau Claire City County Health Department. Lisa Giese, good to have you on the program today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And A.Z. Snyder is director of the Pierce County City County Health Department, and she joins us from her office in Ellsworth. A.Z. Snyder, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Join the conversation by calling 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. So each week on this program, since the pandemic started, I've tried pulling together a report using the statistics from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. So I pulled together a report for the 16-county area of western Wisconsin that falls under our signals, our listening area. And we talk about the number of cases reported in this part of the state. Now, for several weeks, cases here around here just sort of trickled in. On May 21st, just 5 weeks ago, western Wisconsin had 302 cases. Yesterday, that number was up to 788. That's an increase of 160% in 5 weeks. So, A.Z. Snyder, is the coronavirus finally catching up to us here in western Wisconsin?
Well, I think we are definitely seeing an increase in many parts of the state. So Pierce County experienced a spike in cases of mid-May associated with a number of outbreaks in our county and surrounding counties. And actually, just last weekend, we had zero active cases. We have seen a marked increase in cases in the last week. We received 7 new cases this week. And so I think we are definitely, especially in the southern part of the western region, in areas like Trempealeau and La Crosse, seeing a marked increase in cases.
Yeah, Trempealeau has more than doubled in the past couple of weeks, I know. But Lisa Giese, Eau Claire County is one of the only counties in the state that issued enforceable orders after the state Supreme Court struck down the Evers administration's safer at home order for Wisconsin. The newest version of that order went into effect yesterday. Can you lay out some of the key provisions of that order, particularly pointing out what's changed from the previous one?
Certainly. We do have a local public health order that is just one of the many tools in our toolbox to work on keeping the train moving a little bit more slowly, as I often say, that we know we'll have increased disease in this area, and we really together need to work on making sure that that moves as slowly as possible. Our order continues to require people to maintain some of those basic public health measures, 6-foot distance in public spaces and in public gatherings, and a number of other requirements in that realm around making sure that spread of disease doesn't rapidly happen when we're out away from our homes. And then we also made a change. Previously, public gatherings were more limited in size, and we have expanded that a bit, again, with a very enormous caution that our public health best practice is to keep our circles very, very small. So staying with a small group of people is the best thing to do. But in Eau Claire, we've now allowed gatherings of 100 people indoors and 250 people outdoors, as long as those other principles can be in place. We are, as you indicated, rapidly seeing disease increase. Since yesterday, I just got a report that we have 10 new cases in Eau Claire overnight, and we are one of those counties, as reported at the top of the hour, that is in that high disease activity spot. Again, we're having disease happen more slowly than other places, and I credit our community for really working together on that, but we are seeing a lot of disease and a lot of outbreaks in the last couple of weeks.
We'll talk about that new activity metric in just a few minutes, but first, WPR has a thing that we do called Wisconsin, where people can write in with their questions, and Dr. Ryan Westergaard, the Chief Medical Officer of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, recently spoke with WPR as part of our Wisconsin series, and he was talking about statewide guidance and safety measures. He noted that rules and laws aren't the greatest public health strategies. He says, we don't want people making health choices because they're afraid of getting in trouble. Lisa Gisi, Eau Claire County decided to place orders in place once the state orders went away, and they have you have had several orders in place consecutively since. What's your response to Dr. Westergaard's take on government-issued safety measures?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree with Dr. Westergaard that of all the tools in our toolbox, it is the one that we use last. It has been a helpful frame for our community to understand where risk is. We have many people that are appreciative of us moving strategically and deliberately forward rather than just opening up and hoping for the best. That has proven in southern states to be very problematic, and you may have heard that many states are closing back down now because of not using a strategic and progressive strategy. So it is true that it's the last thing that we want to use, but it gives us a framework to do education, which is our primary job, and to support people in best practice.
We got a call from Vern from Boyd. He didn't want to go on necessarily, but his comment was that the U.S. doesn't really have the resources to battle this this type of pandemic. I wonder, Lisa Gisi, do you feel your county has adequate resources to advise and assist the public in trying to prevent the spread of the virus and in treating positive cases?
Yeah. I think all of our system partners are very concerned about that. We've seen what's happened in other states and other countries. We have a public health system that is responding now. We are challenged for a number of reasons related to resources, and we're all working on that. I think both AZ and I would say that the need to do good prevention work and early work is critically important. And we have a minimal staff, and right now, if you look on our website, our measures around healthcare and around public health capacity remain fairly strong, but if we get overwhelmed, it will quickly change.
The number to join the conversation, 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615. We do have a line open. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. A.Z. Snyder, the Pierce County Health Department has issued COVID-19 guidance for common summer events like garage sales and farmers markets. What are some of those guidelines?
Sure. So we're really trying to use the best data that we have about how this virus spreads to give people a good idea of what different risk levels are of different activities. So we know that the closer you are to other people, the more air you breathe that other people are breathing, the greater your risk is. As Lisa mentioned, the larger your circle is, the more people you come into contact with, the greater your risk is. And lastly, we do know it does seem to matter the amount of time that you're closely next to other people. So we're taking that that framework of the number of people you're with, the amount of time you're with them, and how close you are to them to give guidance on good summer activities. So we're asking people to do things like wearing a mask, spending more time outdoors, and limiting their social circle to less than 10 indoors and less than 50 outdoors.
I don't know about your Facebook feed or social media traffic, but I see a lot of people who are pushing back against even the guidelines, much less the orders. AZ Snyder, I wonder if your office is getting a lot of pushback or even uncertainty because of the COVID-19 public safety guidelines that you've been issuing and that CDC and others have been and talking about.
Sure. So I do think that the vast majority of people who receive educational materials from public health are grateful and need that guidance and are appreciative of it. I do understand that there's a lot of frustration out there, that this has really affected our daily lives. But my job and Lisa's job is to be the chief explainer of COVID-19 in our communities, and pushback isn't going to stop us from releasing science-based guidance, because if we don't do it, who else will?
The city of Eau Claire recently traced some new cases of the virus to several bars and restaurants in town. La Crosse County has experienced a similar spike traced back to bars. Lisa Gheese, how do county governments work with private businesses to encourage public safety?
Yeah, important question. We have been noticing, as people have been out and about, that the number of contacts that any individual case has is increasing. That means people are doing things that are, as AZ said, putting them in situations where they're closer than 6 feet for an extended period of time. We are working really closely with businesses across the Eau Claire area in a number of different ways. So the education that we are doing is happening from the health department through our Chippewa Valley Economic Recovery Task Force, an important group that's a partnership between government, the Chamber, Visit Eau Claire, and a number of other partners that are working together to talk to all sectors about what the best practice in science is and how to best move that forward within their business. There are some circumstances where we have disease spread potentially happening. A case is in a location where they did have close contact with individuals, and those individuals may not be known to them, so we can't contact them to stay home and monitor their symptoms. So we have recently, this week, with a couple of outbreak situations, posted that information so that people know what their risk is. If they've been in those places where there was a known case that did have close contact with people, we want others in the community to know that and to make sure that they're paying attention to the risk that is out in Eau Claire right now.
Part of the difficulty in covering this story and for making individual decisions on how to respond to the pandemic is trying to figure out what numbers to pay attention to. Is it number of cases? Is it cases per capita? Is it percentage of positive tests? State Department of Health Services introduced some new metrics this week designed to help with that. We heard Hannah Haynes talk about that at the top of the hour in the newscast. They're metrics that measure things like burden, trajectory, and activity. And I wonder if AZ Snyder, if you can help us unpack what all that means and why it might be a better metric to gauge these things by.
Sure. So there are a lot of different measures out there, and we as public health professionals are looking at many, many different measures. But we thought that this case indicator map would give the public a better idea of a picture in time of what the risk is in each county, both over time and compared to the counties around them. So this is summarized in activity, which is a combination of two metrics. So the first is burden, and that classifies each county into four categories, being low, moderate, moderately high, or high burden. So this is really based on the incidence of cases in the last 2 weeks in that county per 100,000 population. And I know that that 100,000 population piece confuses some people, but the reason that we use a rate, like per 100,000 population, instead of a raw number, is because it allows us to compare the risk for counties of different sizes. The second piece of that activity measure is trajectory. So that's the percent of change in cases for the prior 7 days compared to the most recent 7 days. And that categorizes counties as either shrinking, growing, or no statistically significant change. And those two measures of burden and trajectory are combined using a simple matrix to summarize the activity level of the county. And so, for example, if a county was assessed as having low burden, so the number of cases over the last 2 weeks per 100,000 people was relatively low, but their trajectory was growing in a statistically significant way, they would be classified as a medium activity county.
Now, that new metric initially reported that 14 Wisconsin counties of the 72 were in the high category related to activity in the past 2 weeks. That was upgraded yesterday to 22 counties, and Eau Claire County is among those that were added to the list of high activity counties. Lisa Giese, what's happening in Eau Claire County that got it added to that list?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, we were not incredibly surprised by that change. We had been moderate previously, and we were now at the high level this week. And that matches all of the measures that we are really tracking, too. They may be slightly different, but they are really looking at similar things. We are seeing our total case numbers going up, and we are seeing the increased numbers rapidly happening right now. So as I described at the top of the discussion, you know, 10 cases overnight is significant for us in Eau Claire. The places that we're seeing this are in a younger age group. The 20 to 29-year-old group is one where we are particularly seeing disease spread, and we're seeing outbreaks in situations where people are not maintaining that six-foot distance and not really paying attention to not staying in close contact physically with people. And the more we have that happening in the community, the more cases we will be seeing.
Now, other counties from our area that have shown high recent activity include Clark and Trempealeau counties. In western Wisconsin, six of our western Wisconsin counties were rated at low activity, including Dunn and Buffalo and Pepin, as well as Burnett, Sawyer, and Washburn counties. The rest of the counties, including York Pierce County, A.Z. Snyder, were rated as moderate. What do you make of the fact that there is such a wide range of COVID-19 activity within a single region of the state?
I mean, it doesn't terribly surprise me that that's the case, because we're seeing that counties that are very close to high population areas, so we're right next to the Twin Cities along with St. Croix County, we do get a fair amount of cases imported from the Twin Cities area. I am similarly not surprised to see that population centers like Eau Claire and La Crosse are seeing a lot of disease activity at this time.
Let's take a call now, and again, the number to call, 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615. If it rings busy, try back. Lines will clear. And we have Yordis from Colfax on the line. Yordis, thanks for calling the West Side.
Hi. I wondered, wouldn't it be more effective to have guidance from the state, from Governor Evers? This is an emergency. It's a worldwide pandemic. This, if there's any time that an elected official at the top should have control, it should be him. And I guess what my point about that is when you leave it to the counties to decide, then you create a situation where what if a town or a city within the county defies the guidelines or decides they're going to fight that again, and then you have just a chaotic and mathematically more complicated situation to control the virus.
Yeah, our reporter Rich Kramer just had a story on yesterday about a legal dispute between the Racine County Circuit Court and the city of Racine after the city council had passed an ordinance this week putting coronavirus safety rules in place. Lisa Giese, I'm wondering, your county decided to do orders. Most of the surrounding counties did not. Is that inconsistency problematic, and should this be more of the statewide function?
Most public health officials across the state, I would say probably all of them, really think that this should be a statewide function. We unfortunately are in a situation where there was a court case and that was deemed to be problematic at our state level. And we really are challenged by the fact that we have a patchwork quilt of how things are moving forward. Local health officials are working together, and we are working hard in places where we can have very consistent language and messages and guidance to do that, but we are continuing to struggle with the fact that our state is not able to do statewide orders the way they want to and the way it would be best in order to control the disease in a more consistent way.
Yeah, since the turning back of the statewide orders, Wisconsin now ranks second in the nation for the fewest coronavirus restrictions behind South Dakota. That's according to a study by the finance website Wallet Hub. They use metrics such as the requirement to wear masks, face mask in public. That's not a rule right now statewide. Large gathering restrictions, reopening for businesses and school closure procedures, among others. A.Z. Snyder, from the county's perspective, what do you think of the current state government response, which is mainly advisory?
Yeah, so I think that the politicization of this pandemic has put many public health officials in a very precarious position. There was an article out from ASTO and NACHO, which are our state and local national associations, about the amount of harassment and threats that local health officials have gotten. And I think that that has put us into a position where many of us are only able to release guidance and suggestions and considerations instead of mandates and orders. And I think that if we look back at the 1918 flu pandemic, at that time, bans on mass gatherings and other restrictions of people's movements was met with a lot of resistance. But now that we look back, it is universally thought of during that time as having been necessary and the right thing to do. And so I think, unfortunately, local and state health officials are going to have to stick to the science and stick to the truth of the reality of the situation and hope that history will be on our side.
Yeah, I know there were a number of cities in western Wisconsin that considered orders after the state orders were repealed, and the main reason most of them decided not to do it, based on stories I've read from those meetings, is that they were afraid they'd be facing a court challenge, much like the governor faced with his orders. Health officers A.Z. Snyder of Pierce County and Lisa Giese of the Eau Claire County City County Health Department stay with us through the hour. Coming up, though, after our break, we bring on a couple of leaders in western Wisconsin's hospitality industry to talk about how the summer of COVID-19 is affecting their constituents, and talk some more generally about the business recovery. So what's your summer of COVID-19 story? Did you lose a big celebration you were planning? Are you doing a staycation instead of a vacation? Are you going back to work, or are you in the mask or no mask debate? Well, share your stories, comments, questions at 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Dean Kallenbach. This is the West Side on the Ideas Network. We're back on the West Side talking about the summer of COVID-19 in western Wisconsin. Our public health officers, Lisa Giese of Eau Claire City County and A.Z. Snyder of Pierce County, stay with us. But we now welcome in two leaders in western Wisconsin's tourism industry. Benny Anderson is executive director for the Eau Claire Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, better known as Visit Eau Claire. Benny Anderson, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And also with us from Spooner is Michelle Martin. She's the executive director of the Washburn County Tourism Association. Michelle Martin, good to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me, Dean.
It was 13 weeks ago that we last had Benny Anderson and Michelle Martin on the West Side. And at that time, we were about 2 weeks into all the locking down that the coronavirus pandemic brought with us. So, Michelle Martin, let's start with you. How has the pandemic affected your constituents in the Washburn County Tourism Association in those 13 weeks since we last talked?
Well, I'll start with, it's been an interesting ride, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's an understatement.
Yes. Yeah, obviously we've had businesses very significantly affected by this. I do have quite a few businesses, a handful really, that have decided to remain closed until further notice. So that's definitely having an impact. The majority have opened up now, with most of them with safety precautions in place. I know every business is kind of handling things a little different. But the ones that I've talked to over the last couple of weeks are definitely saying, you know, there's a mix depending, you know, are they an indoor business? Are they an outdoor recreation business? You know, some of them are saying, yeah, we're pretty much on par with last year. Those are mostly the outdoor recreation businesses. But then there are some of the indoor, especially retail, that I've talked to recently, some lodging that have said, yeah, we're taking a hit this year. We're going to be okay, but we're taking a hit. So it's really been a little bit across the board.
Now, your job as a director of tourism is to find a way to get more people to visit your area. What is that job like now in the midst of a pandemic where we're advised to stay home?
It's been kind of an interesting change for me. I have been with tourism for 11 years, and yes, I have always promoted people to come here quite heavily. Since this shift, we have utilized our partnerships and realized how important those are with public health. So before I do anything, really, they're my first phone call. So we've been having conversations about, you know, when do we open up the floodgates? How much do we do? That sort of thing. But so far, really, we have been more focused on getting our locals to explore their own backyard. So that's been kind of an interesting change for us and actually kind of fun, talking to my neighbors and friends who didn't know what was in their backyard to explore. So we've done some interesting things, you know, with our blog with Explore Local and Made in Washco and stuff like that to really get people realizing that they don't have to travel that far to have a great time and have a great vacation. So that's really been our major focus during this time.
Back when we talked in March, officials in Washburn County were asking, and in other counties in the region, were asking folks to stay away from their normal spring visits to their cabins. Has that attitude relaxed?
I would say it has relaxed a little bit just from the releases that we've had from the health department. You know, obviously Washburn County has been doing pretty well. Hopefully it continues that way. Still very much asking people, you know, use safety precautions, you know, everything that all the other public health organizations are saying, but also knowing that, you know, people have cabins here and they are traveling here. And, you know, even if we advise them not to, they're still going to come. It is their cabin and, you know, they want to enjoy their summer as well. So, you know, our public health has been asking people, if you're traveling, please be safe. Use precautions. If you're not feeling well, you know, please stay home at that time, you know. So it's relaxed a little bit from when we last talked, but definitely still pushing those safety precautions.
When we talked in the spring, you were holding out hope that the biggest event in the county, the Heart of the North Rodeo in Spooner, could still happen. No such luck, though.
No such luck. Our office is actually the official ticket office for the rodeo, and in mid to late May, the rodeo committee unanimously made a decision that they needed to cancel this one and postpone it until 2021. So it's been, you know, it was very disappointing for a lot of people, but most people have understood. And, you know, while we're disappointed, it's been 67 years of rodeo action here, and it's been a great run. We want to continue that great run in the future. And in order to do so, we needed to postpone to the following year. So
all of these measures have to be particularly frustrating because in the 4 months that we've been dealing with all this, Washburn County has had a total of four cases. To your west, Burnett County has had only 2 cases. To the east, Sawyer County has had only 10 cases. Bayfield County to your north, I think 3 cases or 2. Did your counties overreact by shutting down these summer attractions?
I don't think that's for me to judge. You know, maybe they saved us from having a big outbreak by doing what they did. I trust our public health officials, and that's always been my outlook throughout this. So I consider us very blessed that we have a lot of public land and lots of space to be able to continue doing fun activities. And so I think that that's really helped us through this. But no, you know, it may be frustrating, but it's no more frustrating than any other area that is experiencing an outbreak. We're all handling it in different ways, and we just have to keep that positivity and work together to get through it. So
Michelle Martin is the director, the executive director for Washburn County Tourism Association. Your number to call, 800-228-5615, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Lines are full right now, so give that a little bit before we'll open them up in a little bit again. Benny Anderson, let's talk to you then. Let's talk about Visit Eau Claire. Many of the big events in the Chippewa Valley that the Chippewa Valley has become known for around the Midwest and around the country, Country Fest, Rock Fest, Country Jam, the Eau Claire Festival, all evaporated. How's the area able to absorb those losses?
You know, I would say that that's definitely not our favorite, you know, place to absorb a loss, you know, for any of that. We have such amazing events, and they've always been such longstanding parts of the community and a real unique take of what our community does. So it's been hard. But I mean, at the same time, you know, the community has reacted well to those cancellations, with the understanding of the bigger picture of what's going on and the need for, you know, public safety and keeping, you know, the families and the staff and the guests that would be coming to those events safe, you know, while it's not our favorite decision.
You and I joked when we talked in March that you were about 2 weeks into your new job with Visit Eau Claire when the shutdown happened. But as you've reached out to your constituent organizations and got to know them a little bit better, what have you learned about those businesses?
I've learned that it'll definitely be the thing that pulls us out of all of this. I mean, I knew that going in. I've had a long career in business in the hospitality and in the community here in Eau Claire. And reconnecting with a lot of those organizations, especially through the amazing collaboration of the task force, has just been, a very enlightening and optimistic view of how this community works. You know, I mean, you have city and county representation from the governments. You have the health department. I mean, I get to see Leeske probably 2 to 3 times a week on conference calls. And, you know, and then we have all of our private sector works from all the different communities that are doing everything from the restaurants and the tourism to manufacturing, that are all working together with their competitors and with each other to not only reopen safely, but to figure out how to keep the communities intact and helping the charities and all of these big events that are struggling and the people that are here. Those partnerships are what's gonna make this all worthwhile at the end of it. You know, to be able to survive that stronger and have a stronger community and growth out of it.
The task force referred to the Chippewa Valley Economic Recovery Task Force, and with Visit Eau Claire again, you're looking at trying to encourage tourism, at trying to encourage conventions and that sort of thing. Is there any work being done, like, to 2021 for conventions and that sort of thing at this point, or is everybody just kind of hunkered down and waiting to see what happens next?
Oh, I would say there's definitely no hunkering down. We're very cognizant of where the world is at right now with the marketing. I mean, we work with, the direction of the task force for when we feel it's safe to market, not just tourism, but meetings and sports events and, you know, that weddings market to try and encourage tourism here. And right now we take a local approach of, you know, we give ourselves about a 40-mile radius and all of Eau Claire County to market that fairly for people who we would call like that traditional staycation. But we've already built and are ready to go on any of those marketing plans where we've set up, you know, basically even the ads, and we're just waiting for the appropriate time to press play on them. We've definitely had a lot of bids and a lot of discussions for creating events for the future when it's safe to do so. We've created our first, I call it COVID-proof event, where we'll be able to encourage local tourism towards the end of the summer here with an expansion of a really cool arts program that we do down here and encouraging outdoor travel. So, we definitely are looking at that future meetings, future events, you know, the sports tournaments, all of it, but in working with bids and all of that for that, with the understanding that, hey, you know, there's no guarantee yet.
Elise Kakisi, I want to bring you back into the conversation. As director of the Eau Claire City County Health Department, you sometimes have to feel a little like a vice principal. You're enforcing a bunch of rules that nobody wants to follow. But you've been very involved in the beginning, as Benny Anderson hinted there, with the Chippewa Valley Economic Recovery Task Force. Talk about the role you play there.
Yeah, none of this is easy, and certainly as our health department is part of the community, we understand that this has not just disease impacts, COVID-19, but real community impacts. So it's been a priority to be part of the work that's happening with the Economic Recovery Task Force and all of the partnerships that we've done. We've really prioritized that. The Economic Recovery Task Force has business sectors that are meeting actively, and we have Health Department Connect in each of those to not only bring things to our partners in business, but also to hear from them about what is happening. My role in the Chippewa Valley Economic Recovery Task Force is really at that leadership level, providing the public health lens to the conversation and the health lens and disease lens to that conversation.
The city of River Falls yesterday announced that it was going to move into phase two of its recovery plan that they call Crushing COVID-19. A.Z. Snyder is health officer for Pierce County. Were you consulted in those conversations?
I was, and I just commend the city of River Falls for being such a thoughtful and steadfast partner. We developed this plan in collaboration together. We gather the data together, and we decide how to move through the city's phases together. And at every point, if there's been a question about how what they want to do aligns with public health guidance, they call me. And so I'm very proud of that relationship.
I want to bring Tim into the conversation now. Tim in Eau Claire, good to have you with us. Thanks for calling the West Side.
Oh, hi. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
I took the bus to Walmart. This is the first time in 3 months I'd gone, and almost no one on the bus was wearing a mask. And when you get to Walmart, people, no one's wearing masks. Oh, well, very few people. There are people wearing masks, but most people don't. People seem eager to ignore the whole thing.
And yeah, and the whole mask versus no mask thing that I was referring to earlier, that's certainly a real thing. Lisa Gysi, the task force yesterday released a six-step guide for employers with a positive case. But, you know, what can employers and others like transit companies do to stop the spread of the virus without bringing everything to a standstill again?
Our goal with businesses is really to think through all of the places in their operations where they can keep 6-foot distance between people, encourage people to wear a cloth face covering or a mask, both all people, both their customers as well as the people working in their business, and to really actively work through making sure symptomatic people are not out in the community. There are lots of strategies that can be used. Our order certainly is part of how we're educating people, but there's really good guidance at the WEDC website for each of the businesses, and that's really a touch point across Wisconsin for people to think about how they are best moving forward, protecting people. Masks is a tough topic. We've learned a lot about the use of masks by the general public, and it is very clear that if two individuals are wearing a mask and come in close contact with one another, and one of them has COVID-19, that the risk will be lessened if an appropriate mask is worn by both individuals. So we are strongly encouraging a change in culture and really asking all of us to say, it's not about me wearing a mask, it's about protecting others and caring enough about people in the community to protect others. And I think we have a community that really cares about one another, and I hope to see that rapidly changing in the near future, that someone going to Walmart sees lots of people wearing masks.
Our guests are Lisa Gysi, the health director for Eau Claire City County, A.Z. Snyder, the health director for Pierce County, Michelle Martin, executive director of the Washburn County Tourism Association, and Benny Anderson, executive director of Visit Eau Claire. Still time for your calls if you have questions for our guests about the summer of COVID-19, although our lines are full again. 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615. If the line is busy, just keep trying. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Dean Kallenbach. This is The West Side on the Ideas Network. We're back on The West Side and glad to have you with us. Again, the number to call, 800-228-5615. Lines are open, 800-228-5615. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. So we've talked a lot about statistics. We've talked a lot about restrictions. We've talked a lot about rules. But hey, summer's supposed to be fun, even the summer of COVID-19. So A.Z. Snyder, what can we safely do to enjoy summer?
So that's a good question. And I do have to say that when the Cheese Curd Festival in Ellsworth was canceled, my husband didn't talk to me for 2 days. So it's really important that we start to find activities for people to do that promote both our physical, mental, and social health. And so there's a lot of early evidence that says that activities in outdoor environments where we can spread out a little bit more and we're not breathing each other's air are significantly safer than indoor environments. So this is the time to explore the outdoors of your own community. Western Wisconsin is, I think, the most beautiful place on the planet. There are lots of hiking trails, rivers to kayak on. And so focusing on those outside activities with your close family circle is what public health is recommending.
Yeah, my wife and I have a round number anniversary coming up this weekend. And our original plan was to have a big blowout at the house. And I think it's going to be a takeout dinner with our kids. July 4th, though, is coming up. It's a holiday that's often celebrated with family and friends, public celebrations. While most events have been canceled or moved online, people may still want to get together to celebrate. And Lisa Giese, what tips do you have for keeping holiday celebrations safe?
So the same general guidance that AZ just shared is going to be true for holidays as well. Keep your circle as small as possible. And when you're together celebrating, whether it's for 4th of July or any other holiday, physical distance makes a difference, as does the wearing of face covering. So the cloth masks can make a difference. So I have been impressed in this community and across Wisconsin at the creative ways people are finding to celebrate. And we encourage people to really think about those principles, that outside distance and protecting each other by wearing a cloth mask. Those will make a difference. And then keep your circle as small as possible. As hard as that is, it will make a difference this summer.
Now, Benny Anderson, the city of Eau Claire did decide it's going to hold a fireworks display, as it tends to do in the summertime, but they've made some changes as well, right?
Yeah, so what they've done is they've closed down the general gathering part of it, where you would typically gather at Carson Park to watch them, or an area around there, and they've moved the location to be a little bit more on higher ground so that you'll be able to see it from more of the city, hopefully from your house or from parks and areas where you can spread out a little bit. And I think it's a very smart plan for a way to keep something amazing going while adhering to the safety guidelines that we need to hit right now.
Michelle Martin, how are communities in Washburn County handling Independence Day celebrations?
It's really mixed at this point. We've had a few that have canceled their fireworks just because they didn't really have the best location for people to social distance. But we do have a couple that have continued on. And Spooner has come up with a way for everybody to be able to social distance by bringing blankets and watching from their vehicles. And then the community of Long Lake is 19 miles long, and most people watch the fireworks from their boats anyway. Mm-hmm. So they are continuing on with their celebration as well. And so it's kind of fun to see that some of them are coming up with creative ways to continue to honor Independence Day. Yeah,
there are certainly some aspects of tourism in northern Wisconsin that are defined as social distancing. So that's an interesting aspect. You know, I want to shift a little bit and talk to our health experts here. One thing that the pandemic has done is to make us aware of public health agencies like yours. You've become kind of famous in your communities. But this pandemic has got to be dominating those agencies. And Lisa Giese, I'm wondering, are there other issues that aren't getting the attention they should because of the coronavirus?
Certainly that is true. We had a staff team that was working on all kinds of important health issues in our community, our priorities around chronic disease and other infectious disease, as well as drug and alcohol issues, are ones that continue. They haven't gone away because of COVID-19. Our efforts the last 3 months have been primarily COVID-related. We are working to build some capacity so that we can have the core staff go back to some of that work, because we'll have an enormous impact if we don't down the road. So it has been a challenge for our team as well. And again, our community counts on us to work on a whole variety of issues. The prevention job is a tough one for everybody in public health. If nothing happens, we've been successful. And that largely is also true of COVID-19. So as we see more cases, we know that prevention works, but we also have to slow things down.
You're like a referee. If you're not noticed, you're doing your job. Hey, we've been talking about recovery, and a number of organizations are already canceling fall events. Let's look ahead. Among the victims that I'm aware of, Chippewa Valley Book Festival, the October and December concerts of the Master Singers in Eau Claire, the Bayfield Apple Festival is canceled. Michelle Martin, I'm wondering, what does fall tourism look like for Washburn County?
We don't know yet.
Yeah.
We're just rolling with the punches and adjusting our plans as needed, as we're advised. I don't feel like there's anything that we can do other than that, and that's just to see what happens and be prepared for the best and also be prepared for the worst. So,
Benny Anderson, the University of Wisconsin campuses have all said they'll be back on campus this fall, including UW-River Falls, UW-Stout, UW-Eau Claire, and our region. If that can happen, what will the impact be for Western Wisconsin businesses?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is you're gonna get some influx of dollars again, you know, into the businesses. You know, there's a lot of money that comes into the community from students returning and purchasing, you know, their supplies and their food, and you know, and you know, also that job market, you know, kind of increases and then also fills back up a little bit with them returning. So, you know, overall, I think it's a good thing. You know, there's definitely some changes that UWC is making to keep the students and the community safe, and there's strong changes for that. But, you know, they've been active in that task force and health department conversation for very long. And, you know, they're really trying to do their part to help out with all of that.
A.Z. Snyder, the state came out with guidelines this week for public schools returning in the fall. Even if schools can't open in the fall, things are going to look a lot different. And I hear from parents who are considering homeschooling, even if the buildings are open in the fall. What advice are you providing to the school districts in Pierce County about the fall?
Well, we have been talking to our school districts daily since March, since we received our first case, and they have been absolutely excellent partners. School is going to be back available in person, at least at the start of the school year for this fall, and if hopefully through the school year things keep going well. School this year will look like it's never looked before. And so we're really advising schools to think about cohorting students, which basically means keeping them in smaller groups that are static groups, so that if we have to exclude one group because of a case from school for a couple weeks, it doesn't hit the entire school or an entire grade. What I think is important for people to know that not every student is going to feel safe or be safe in going back to school, particularly those with underlying medical conditions. And every school district is working very hard to be able to provide alternative methods of instruction for those that are not able to return in the fall.
Lisa Kesey, as we close our conversation today, at this point only about 10% of Western Wisconsinites have been tested for COVID-19. As we move through the summer, are we going to see changes in the testing and contact tracing here in Western Wisconsin?
I do anticipate that we will continue to see testing be an important strategy that we have. We will be across the state moving forward some more specific ways to test in areas that are critically important that we may have a gap in right now. So testing will continue to happen and is important, especially for those people that have low-level symptoms. The sooner we know they are positive, the sooner we can stop the spread of disease from that individual. And contact tracing, critically important as well. Keeping the circle small of spread is our goal.
Thank you to our guests today. Lisa Kesey is the health director for the Eau Claire City County Health Department. A.Z. Snyder, health director for Pierce County. Michelle Martin, the executive director of the Washburn County Tourism Association, and Benny Anderson, the executive director of Visit Eau Claire, talking today about the summer of COVID-19. Catherine Thomas produced today's show. Kate Spranger manages our web presence, our publicity, and our archives. Next week at this time, I'm off, but we'll have a special airing of Central Wisconsin's program Route 51, which will feature the creators of a new exhibit at the High Ground Museum in Neillsville about women in the U.S. military and PTSD, including PTSD suffered due to sexual assault while in the military. Shereen Seawert will be your host next Friday at 10 a.m. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Thank you for joining us. Be well. This is The West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.